One of the easiest ways to identify a true follower of Jesus Christ is how compassionately that person treats other people. The Savior's message is clear. His true disciples build, lift, encourage, persuade, and inspire. No matter how difficult the situation, true disciples of Jesus Christ are peacemakers.
Hi, this is Michaela Johnson from the University of Utah Institute of Religion, and this is the podcast called Peacemakers Needed. During this episode, we're going to talk about how to find peace when you aren't healed. So today, we have a very special guest, Danny Johnson. I've known Danny my entire life. I think he's awesome, and I'm super excited to have him here today. Danny, do you want to introduce yourself a little bit?
Well, my name is Danny Johnson. I'm about 52 years old, grew up in Los Angeles. Now I'm the owner of a couple businesses in Salt Lake City and have a great family.
The best.
The best family. And I have spent probably 35 years with excellent health, Superman health. And then about 12 years ago, I got an autoimmune disorder that has changed my life, but has taught me a lot of things.
Yeah, I think you have a really unique perspective. And this is a topic that is super interesting to me. I want to go into the medical field, and I think that there are probably a lot of people as well going to the University of Utah that are interested in that. So would you mind telling us the fun nitty-gritty facts about what it's like to have the illness that you do have?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, with the disease I have, I guess it's disease, whatever you want to call it, it's ulcerative colitis, and so you spend life between bathrooms. But it in the process, it also saps you of all your energy and ability to think clearly, and you have to sleep more and rest more, and you just don't function on the same level that everybody else does. But I think in the things that I've learned about it, though, is that I have to rely on other people, which I didn't do before, because I could do everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a level of a significant level of humility and opportunity for people around me to pick up the things that I could no longer do,
mm-hmm.
Or step up in some instances. So it's been, I've had 10 doctors and trying to find different things, traveled outside the United States, inside, trying to find things that will work, and some of them do and some of them don't, and some of them just mask symptoms and some of them don't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in the process of looking and finding, that's part of exercising faith, which faith is required. Faith is in, as I understand it, faith is action, acting on truth.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're looking for truth, you're looking for things that will make a difference, things that are real, and you try them and you pursue them, I think that's part of acting on faith. It's doing everything you can instead of just waiting for the Lord to fix your problems.
Mm-hmm.
And that has its own journey.
Mm-hmm.
It has its own experiences and opportunities and
mm-hmm.
challenges. One of the things that in reading this talk by Elder Oaks on healing the sick was a quote from President Brigham Young, who said he was asked to give blessings, and when he would go to the people, he would ask, quote, "Have you used any remedies?" To those who said no, because we wish the elders to lay hands upon us and we have faith that we shall be healed, President Young replied, "That is very inconsistent according to my faith. If we are sick and ask the Lord to heal us and do and to do all for us that is necessary to be done, according to my understanding of the gospel of salvation, I might as well ask the Lord to cause my wheat and corn to grow without my plowing the ground and casting in the seed. It appears consistent to me to apply every remedy that comes within the range of my knowledge and then to ask my Heavenly Father to sanctify that application to the healing of my body.
I love that quote. It reminds me actually of a discussion that I had when I was proselyting. I'm now a service missionary. I was proselyting in a town called Lynchburg, and this is home of the University of Liberty, Liberty University. And I was attending Institute with my companion, of course, and we had an investigator with us, a friend that who was coming to church with us, and a discussion started about mental health. And there were students from Liberty there who did not have the best of intentions. And they kind of took this discussion about mental health and turned it into something else entirely. And they were quoting Isaiah, and it kind of turned into a Bible bashing situation. But the premise that they came to this institute with was, the Lord can heal you. You don't really have to do anything. All you need is grace. And grace is enough. God will heal you if you ask. And if he doesn't heal you, then clearly you don't have enough faith. And for a lot of the people in that room who had struggled with mental health, it was very conflicting, because I know of people in that room who had enough faith to be healed and they hadn't been. And it was frustrating to see kind of a single-minded view of what it is to be healed from the Lord. And so I think that the Lord does give us modern medicine to help heal us. And in a lot of ways, that can be an answer to someone's prayer. So Danny, what are your thoughts on that, on being healed and not being healed? What does it take to be healed? And when you aren't, what are you supposed to do with your faith at that point?
Well, you keep working on it. You keep working on your faith. The premise of faith is generally that if I believe in God, he will fix all my problems. But that's not what faith is. Faith is acting on truth and doing everything you can to repent. And it's not just repenting of things you're doing wrong. It's about doing good things better. And so we have an obligation with this body that we've never had before to learn to take care of it and identify what it likes and what it doesn't like. And if there's some things that our particular bodies prefer or respond very negatively to, it's our responsibility to accommodate that need. The point being is we have a responsibility to nourish it, to strengthen it, to take care of it. And if there's certain things that we have to do that are different than our other family members or our friends, then that's just what we have to do. But the premise that, you know, can the Lord heal everybody? Sure, he can. He clearly did it in the third Nephi. Mm-hmm. But there's also an opportunity to learn and grow with whatever your circumstance is. So Elder Scott said, Richard G. Scott said, it is important to understand that his healing can mean being cured or having your burdens eased or even coming to realize that it is worth it to endure to the end patiently. For God needs brave sons and daughters who are willing to be polished when in his wisdom, that is his will. Pain gets your attention very quickly. Mm-hmm. But it also teaches you to be empathetic to other people who are in pain. But you have to experience it. You can't just be told about it. You can't read about it. Mm-hmm. So there are opportunities when you are not healed to still learn and grow. I think when people are not healed, the question is not, why didn't God heal me? I think the question really is, has God turned this issue or opportunity into a favorable thing? Mm-hmm. Because there's experiences that we've had as a family that would not have happened any other way. Mm-hmm. When you look at Elder Oaks's talk, he talked about things that we can do for ourselves before not just asking for a blessing, but even asking for a blessing to increase our response to what we're already doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there's also a statement which is the prayer of faith. Well, the prayer of faith is not relative to, you don't need the priesthood to have a prayer of faith.
Mm-hmm.
There have been several opportunities when my wife has prayed over me and healed me for a time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's happened twice. Wouldn't have had that opportunity had I not been sick.
Yeah.
I've had plenty of blessings, but the opportunities and the training and teaching that I've experienced because I've been sick have been far more significant than what I would have accomplished had I not been. God is more interested in getting us home than he is in making our rough roads smooth.
Mm-hmm.
So in some instances, this is a blessing. In many instances, and in all instances, I believe, it is something that he can turn to our benefit and our good. But it's going to take acting on faith. It's going to take relying on the Savior. It's going to take trusting that hard times will come and you do everything in your power. And sometimes it takes all of your power,
mm-hmm,
and all of your focus, but that's all right.
Yeah. I think of an experience I had when you were called to the bishopric, and our neighbor was our stake president, and we were nervous because all of us kids, we knew you were pretty sick, even though I think we didn't understand the whole of it when we were young. But you were called to the bishopric, and I was so scared because you were so sick, and I was like, he can't do this. What were they thinking? They're trying to kill him. And you were given this sweet, sweet blessing, and in that blessing, you were commanded to be healed. And I remember that. This just like, this weight was lifted off of my young shoulders, and I was like, oh my gosh, we're done with all the neighbors bringing us food because mom and dad are in the hospital, and older brothers driving us to school and cooking meals because mom and dad are in the hospital. Mom and dad are always in the hospital. And I remember thinking, like, it's over. We're done. Like, we just crossed the finish line. This is amazing. And then you weren't healed. And for my young mind, I was like, well, I guess the church isn't true. You just lied to us. Like, this promise, this beautiful promise and a blessing that was given wasn't fulfilled. And for me, I was, like, confused and hurt and afraid. Because I remember when I was young, genuinely, like, there was maybe two times when I remember praying to God, like, don't take my dad. I don't want my dad to die. And I thought we were done with that, and we weren't. And I remember you sat us down as kids, and you explained to us, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened to our family, and let me tell you why. And I was like, oh, gosh, he's really off his rocker now. He thinks this is great. And so I remember that those experiences very vividly, and the things that I've learned from you and your peace, the peace that you found in being sick, and the blessings that you somehow can see. I'm learning to see them, but for a long time it was really hard. And so I'd like it if you could share some of the blessings you've seen, not only for yourself, but as our family, what you've noticed, the good things about you being sick, the blessings that have come from you not being healed.
I think that my kids have learned to be more patient, not just with me, but I think other people, because they've learned to serve other sick people. And I think that they've learned that you have to slow down. You have to go at their pace. You have to walk with them at their speed. I think some of the blessings they've learned is that this life is very fragile. And that health is a significant blessing, and it can be taken quickly, and it can be given quickly. I think we've learned to be more grateful for being together. I think that we have been blessed to slow down. We were running at a pretty fast pace, both business-wise and as a family. We've always run as a family. We've always just been going, 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 going. And this has required us to slow down a little bit and to pray more sincerely and to trust God when he decides something contrary to our will, but also to recognize that it's still okay. Things are still going to be fine. So I think we've learned about the power of the temple and about attending the temple, about serving in the temple. I think we've learned about sincere prayer. And we've learned about priesthood blessings, because there have been moments when I have done significantly better. And I'm better now than I was 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a progressive learning, developing, growing, adjusting to needs of our individual bodies that are required to continue to build up the kingdom and serve our families and serve our neighbors. So it has been a blessing. I don't think those are things that we would have learned without tribulation and trial. We've been pretty blessed as a family, financially and in business and in other things, but there's got to be some resistance to teach us. Otherwise, we assume that everybody runs at the same level we do, and they don't.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some parents die, and some family members die, but we haven't really experienced all that much.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it has taught a significant amount of things, not just me, but the secondary caregivers and people who watch from the sidelines, our friends who have watched this thing roll out over 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
because there have been many fasts on our behalf, at a stake level, at a ward level, at a family level, but I don't think that they've been in vain. I think that there are lessons to be learned.
Yeah.
And refinements to be had. So, and it's interesting because when people get up and they will say, you know, I've got this illness or I'm sick or they were in pain for some reason or they were in the hospital. I mean, I can say, yeah, I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know exactly what your issue is, but I've had my walk around the block with pain before.
Yeah.
And you know, with the 15 or 20 emergency room visits and the doctors and everything else, and learning to be accountable for the things that I can be. It's interesting that people, I think, often look at the woman with the issue of blood and say, well, she was healed immediately.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and in the scriptures, it talks about, you know, the Lord said, thy faith hath made thee whole. And people look at the woman with the issue of blood and she's and they say, all she did was reached out and touched him.
Mm-hmm.
But people don't understand that she had to get herself there.
Mm-hmm.
That her limited circumstances, that she did everything she could do.
Mm-hmm.
She was unclean for most of her life. She probably wasn't married. Her mother helped her get her there. And so she moved to the very edge of her ability and then reached a little bit further. And I think that we as humans in this age, we don't do enough. We really could put forth a little bit more effort.
Yeah.
We could change our diet. We could go exercise. You know, interesting thing. I had a doctor. I said, I think I'm going to start exercising. And she said, you're too weak to exercise. And I said, well, look, I'm either going to get better, I'm going to progress and get better exercising, or I'm going to die exercising, but I'm not going to stay where I am.
Mm-hmm.
Something, I'm going to make something change. I'm going to force a change. Well, I got much better.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's the idea of, well, what can you do? If the Lord were to ask, if we were to ask, every time we prayed and asked for something or healing, I wonder what we would respond to if the Lord said, well, what are you doing?
Yeah. What are you doing to help me with this healing?
Yeah. Well, how can I help you with this?
Yeah.
How can I accelerate what you're currently doing? Well, if the answer is, well, I'm not doing anything. He's like, well, I can't accelerate that. I can't accelerate zero.
You're giving me nothing here. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I would agree that there are emergency situations where time is of the essence.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the things we're talking about are not time sensitive. They're not critical. We have moments and opportunities to affect our situation. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes we should think that way and think the Lord can only accelerate the level of things we're currently putting forth effort into or acting on faith.
Yeah.
Pursuing answers, learning, acting, and asking for God to make more of what we're doing.
To consecrate your efforts to be healed.
Well, isn't that what sealing of the anointing oil is? To ratify and to bind this all together and say, okay, we want this to work. Mm-hmm. But I think oftentimes maybe our healing blessings should be more about having God move forward our efforts, mm-hmm. instead of having him fix all of our problems.
Yeah.
We are agents unto ourselves. Mm-hmm. We can act and not be acted upon.
Yeah, I completely agree. And there's just one more question that I wanted to ask, and this is a question that every guest that comes on the podcast, we like to ask them. And the question is, when has there been a time that you had the opportunity to be a peacemaker? A time that you were put in a situation where you could be an advocate for peace, the way that President Nelson asked us to do?
Well, as a dad and a business owner, it's every day. I'm in business. I'm constantly required to hold people accountable. Mm-hmm. How you do that is as important as that you do that. So not holding somebody accountable is not being a peacemaker, because you're not really helping them out. Mm-hmm. Holding people accountable and saying, how can I help you? Instead of, why didn't you do your job?
Yeah.
There's a difference there. Tone is probably going to be as much of a difference, you know, being at home and yelling at kids for doing dumb things. Maybe a bad way of doing it, but saying, let me teach you something. Let me help you see more of what you're doing. I think being a peacemaker in the other, our personal relationships is going to have as much to do with tone as it is with the sincerity of what we think and feel. Mm-hmm. I mean, speaking clearly, telling people how we feel, why we feel the way we do, without accusing or blaming anybody else. Mm-hmm. Say, you know, this is kind of the way I see it. How do you feel? How can we come together and move forward? But usually we're in the process of burning bridges down as fast as possible. And that's the tone of today's rhetoric. And
yeah.
You'll find yourself on an alone island when you burn all your bridges.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's exactly what President Nelson foresaw when he pleaded with us to be peacemakers. And I'm so grateful that you were able to come. Danny, I love you so much. You're the best dad that I ever had, ever. And I'm so glad that we have this podcast to talk about important things like this.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for inviting me. You're an awesome daughter. You've
the best daughter.
The best daughter in the world. Don't tell your sister that. But you've made some great, great strides and progress on your mission, and it's been wonderful to watch.
Thanks.
My dear brothers and sisters, how we treat each other really matters. How we speak to and about others at home, at your church, at work, and online really matters. Today I'm asking us to interact with others in a higher, holier way.
This podcast series has been produced by students at the Institute at the University of Utah.
If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend.
To direct others to this podcast, to listen to other episodes in this series, or to enroll in the Institute class associated with these podcasts, see our website at overcometheworld.podbeam.com.
This recording is not an official publication of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The views expressed are those of the participants and are neither the official doctrine nor the official teachings of the church.